In the United States, the family-friendly healthcare brand Johnson & Johnson is back in court, this time facing allegations of fueling an opioid crisis that's claimed thousands of lives. The company is already facing lawsuits from dozens of women who've blamed their ovarian cancer on asbestos found in the company's baby powder and other talc products. But now the US state of Oklahoma has filed a multi-billion dollar lawsuit accusing Johnson & Johnson of being the kingpin behind the worst man-made public health crisis in the state's history. Elizabeth Birch is a law professor at the University of Georgia and an expert in complex litigation. She joins me now. Welcome to Breakfast.
Thank you for having me.
The trial against Johnson & Johnson has begun in Oklahoma. What's the company been accused of precisely?
Well, right now, it's just down to one particular claim, and it's a claim of public nuisance. And essentially what the Attorney General is saying is that Johnson & Johnson has helped create and fuel the opioid crisis, and that crisis is therefore a public nuisance that needs to be abated.
So Johnson & Johnson is accused of being the kingpin behind the crisis. How does that work? What function has Johnson & Johnson played in the spread of opioids?
Well, I mean, I think, Johnson & Johnson would dispute its role as being the kingpin. There are so many manufacturers who have created different opioid products, and I think a lot of people are looking at Purdue Pharmaceuticals and the Sacklers and their role in creating OxyContin. And so one of the big disputed issues in the case is how much liability Johnson & Johnson would be held responsible for. If they're held responsible, could they be held responsible for the entire opioid crisis in the state of Oklahoma, some proportion of that? And that's what we're seeing unfold right now in the trial that's ongoing, these fights about responsibility and how much culpability one company has versus another.
So are there particular products that Johnson & Johnson makes which are particularly widespread in Oklahoma? What are we actually talking about here?
Well, it's hard to say. You know, I don't have the particular numbers on its products in Oklahoma in particular. Johnson & Johnson makes a patch that produces fentanyl. It's also divested itself of another opioid product back in 2015. And so one of its arguments is that, you know, we don't really have a big market share in the state of Oklahoma, and we don't have a big market share in the opioid product market in general.
And so is it clear why Oklahoma is going after Johnson & Johnson as opposed to one of these other drug manufacturers?
Well, Johnson & Johnson is really just the last company left standing. So Oklahoma did sue Purdue Pharmaceuticals. It also sued Teva Pharmaceuticals. Teva settled just a couple of days ago, and Purdue, as well as the Sacklers, who contributed money towards the settlement, settled for $270 million a few weeks ago.
So does that indicate that the state of Oklahoma does have a reasonably strong case, given that these other companies have agreed to settle?
Well, of course, anytime a company settles, they say we're not admitting any sort of responsibility for creating the crisis whatsoever. We're just paying a nuisance value, so to speak, to try to get out of these cases. But I think the companies are concerned about what might come out in a trial. Clearly, this is a very public trial. It's being live streamed here in the United States. Even though it's just in front of a single judge, you've got the entirety of the public watching and seeing how it plays out. And one of the important functions that we're seeing here is the evidence that's actually coming out against Johnson & Johnson. So much of the evidence has been sealed or has been redacted. And so this is really the public's first glimpse into what I think of as a Pandora's box.
And why is it something that the state wants to pin on the producers of the drug rather than, say, for example, doctors and pharmacists who presumably play a pretty significant role in individuals getting their hands on this stuff?
Sure. I mean, you know, in the federal trials, we have a multi-district proceeding that is being consolidated, centralized in the state of Ohio. A lot of the pharmaceutical companies have been sued in the federal proceeding. The state of Oklahoma chose not to sue the pharmaceutical companies, chose not to sue the distributors like CVS or Walgreens, for example, and are focused principally on the manufacturers themselves. It's hard to say why that is. It might be that they think they have more culpability. It might be that they have deeper pockets. They haven't given us a sense as to why just the drug companies as opposed to the distributors.
And do individuals need a prescription to obtain these medications?
Yes, absolutely.
So there is a function being played by medical practitioners in getting these medications out there.
Right, right. And, you know, there has been alleged abuse in that process as well. There have been questions about physicians who are writing, you know, essentially what they're calling pill mills. You have a bunch of different prescriptions that are going out from one particular doctor or from one particular pharmacy. And there are arguments that they, too, have some degree of culpability and need to play a role in regulating and an oversight.
I suppose one of the things that stands out for us in Australia when we travel to America is just how widely drugs are marketed and advertised. Is that part of the reason why a government might wish to pursue the manufacturer, because they take a pretty active role in spreading the word about these drugs?
I think that's certainly part of it. You know, here we have direct-to-consumer advertising. We also have advertising to the doctors themselves, and there have been studies done here that show that essentially the doctors know more about the way that the manufacturers target them, and they sort of rephrase and respout the same sort of information that the pharmaceutical companies are telling them, and they know less about the research. And so, you know, there's an open-ended question about what sort of changes we might see going forward in the way pharmaceutical companies are allowed to advertise.
So you obviously, as a result of that, end up with individuals going to doctors saying, I want this particular drug. Can you give us any sense of the scale of the opioid crisis?
Oh, gosh. I mean, it's tremendous. We have so many deaths here in the United States. We have babies who are being born addicted to opioids. We have long-term effects from that we haven't even begun to study yet. So it's a widespread problem.
We will have to leave it there. We appreciate your time this morning, Elizabeth Birch. Thank you.
Thank you.
Elizabeth Birch is a law professor at the University of Georgia.